Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Located right along the San Joaquin River, the city of Stockton has a rich maritime history dating back to the 1800s. From domestic and international trade at the current port to its service as a shipbuilding powerhouse during World War II. For over a decade, a dedicated group of former sailors, history enthusiasts, and community members have been working to preserve and showcase the city's connection to shipping. And at its center is a small wooden Navy ship called the USS Lucid. Joining us now to talk more about these efforts is David Rakovich, the president of the Stockton Maritime Museum. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'd like to start off learning a little bit more about you. Where did your interest and passion in maritime history come from?
Well, my father was a sailor in World War II. As a kid, I hung out with veterans. I still hang out with veterans to this day, and I'm interested in history and local industrial history, and it just kind of fell in my lap.
How long has the Stockton Maritime Museum been around?
It was formed in 2011 when we acquired the ship. We formed a 501c3 in order to take ownership of the ship, and we've been working on restoring it since 2012.
Okay, well, then let's just dive into the USS Lucid. What is so special about this ship?
It's the last of 66 of this class of ship that was built for our Navy in an emergency shipbuilding program in the early 1950s as a result of several ships that we lost during the Korean War. Due to influence mines, Soviet mines, a couple of which were captured intact and reverse engineered, and this ship was designed to defeat those mines. And because it was an emergency shipbuilding program, these were built all over the country, 101 of them, the balance was for our allies. They were built at 10 different shipyards around the country concurrently, with three of them being built in Stockton. And of the thousands of vessels, boats, and craft that were built in Stockton over the years, this was the largest Navy type of vessel built in Stockton. This one, however, was not built in Stockton, but they're all gone. This is the last one left in the United States.
What was the advantage of making a ship out of wood?
It was non-magnetic, and that was one of the key drivers of an influence mine. There was other parameters. There was so the mines could detect a ship passing by its magnetic signature. It didn't have to run into it anymore like the old mines. And also the ships were designed as a very shallow draft ship, so it wouldn't change the water pressure going over mine, which is another way they could detect ships. And it had variable pitch propellers because the influence mines were designed to listen to the propellers, and they could identify the ship by the sound of its propellers. So these propellers were variable pitch so that mine could not identify the ship.
You mentioned that three of Lucid's identical sister ships. They were built in Stockton as well. What is Stockton's history with shipbuilding?
Well, it goes back to the 1840s. Stockton was founded as a city, wouldn't you know, right around the gold rush. And it was much like Sacramento. Stockton and Sacramento were the closest ways to get to the gold fields from San Francisco. The people that came around, sailed around the Horn, miners and supplies would come up the river to Sacramento and Stockton to get to the gold fields. And interestingly enough, of all the ships built in Stockton, the two most famous ones still exist, and that is the Delta King and the Delta Queen, of which, of course, the Delta King is now parked here in Sacramento.
Breakfast there many a times.
Yes.
Even stayed there.
Yes, and you could drink there. And
it is a nice bar. You
yes,
get a nice view of the Sacramento River.
It's a beautiful
river.
Bar, yeah. Let's see, what was I saying? Oh, and the Delta Queen is up on the Ohio River somewhere now.
So what is the state of shipyards today? Is this kind of a lost art, a lost skill?
Shipbuilding in the last 20 years has really left the United States, and it's centered in South Korea, several European countries, and China. China builds 80% of all the ships now being built. But the new administration is making a big push to bring shipbuilding back, and our mayor just last week was meeting with Trump officials in Washington, D.C., and our city manager to express our interest to locate a new shipyard here on the West Coast at the Port of Stockton, because there's a lot of undeveloped land in Stockton, and it's much less expensive for these shipyard workers to live in Stockton than it would be, say, the Bay Area.
Yeah, that's Mayor Christina Fugazi,
correct,
who was in D.C., as you said, pitching to lawmakers to make Stockton a new national hub for this type of construction.
Exactly.
Outside of the maritime industry, if this were to come to fruition, what would it mean for Stockton?
The shipbuilding? Well, jobs, number one, high-paying jobs. And we are our ship is located at a vocational high school, and there's a need for welders and electricians and plumbers and that sort of thing. They're very good-paying jobs. We have San Joaquin Delta College in town that has a big vocational program. So its number one impact would be good-paying jobs. And there's a lack of that right now. We have a lot of warehouse jobs in Stockton, but not these $30, $40, $50 an hour jobs.
Well, a piece of revitalizing, I think, the maritime industry in Stockton is restoring the USS Lucid. How does it look like today? What is the state of it?
It's probably 85% completed. We've been working on it for a dozen years. I guess actually 13, if I add up correctly. But it's just about completed. It was stripped. It was owned by scrappers. And because all the metal on it, because it's a non-magnetic ship, all the metal on it was bronze, brass, stainless steel, or Manel. And Manel is 50% bronze and 50% nickel. So very expensive metals. And the previous owner of the ship was scrappers out in the Delta, and they spent years and years removing all that metal. So we've been recreating those parts and pieces and searching the country far and wide to put it back to its original condition, what it looked like when it was serving in the Navy in the 50s and 60s.
That sounds like an awful lot of dedication and skill restoring a ship like this.
It is, and we've received no public funding until just this year for our new relocation project. But so this has been funded by sailors who have sailed on these and their children and grandchildren who've been supporting us from around the country, because this is the last one left. And also we have a dedicated team of volunteers, probably 40 active volunteers. And there's on weekdays, there's three or four of these volunteers on the ship. And on Saturdays, there's 10 to 12 working on the ship. So we couldn't do it without those supporters and those volunteers.
Given that this was a Navy vessel, can you lean on the Navy for parts, perhaps?
We do, and they support us. They allow us to go up to shipyards. We go to the one in Bremerton, Washington, once a year and remove parts from ships that are scheduled to be scrapped or sunk as targets. And there's a lot of bits and pieces on those. Standard things like plumbing fixtures and light fixtures and valves and things like that that are pretty common across all classes of Navy ships, but we had none of that. So we've needed everything, and they've been very helpful with us.
I mean, I can just hear that there's a lot of pride that goes into this as well.
There is, and I want to brag a little bit on our supporters and our volunteers, because last year we won the Excellence Award from the Naval History and Heritage Command. It's a command of the Navy tasked with preserving Navy history, and they recognized our efforts, what we're doing to restore the ship and what we're doing with these students that are vocational high school students practicing a real-world trade in a real-world work environment aboard the ship. And of all the ships in the country, we won this E for Excellence Award, so we're quite proud of that.
Can people see the USS Lucid today?
They can. We've had so many visitors, and because it's still a work in progress, we hold open houses in the spring and in the fall. And our next one coming up is Saturday, October the 11th. And we ask people to go to our website or our Facebook page, and they could register for a tour. And this year, because we have a new awning over the fantail of the ship, we have these sailors coming from around the country that served on these ships. We're asking them to stay and visit with the visitors.
Wonderful. What a treat.
It should be for the visitors and for these veterans, yes.
So your museum really centers on the Lucid. How do you want to grow the museum?
The Lucid will be artifact number one, but we want to highlight all the maritime history of Stockton. All the shipyards, there was 10 shipyards there at one time. The Navy had a major presence in Stockton from 1940 into the 1990s with a rough and ready naval supply depot. There was a a communication station there that communicated with ships all around the world, right from the Port of Stockton. There was all sorts of activities tied to the waterfront. During World War II, when there was only 30,000 people living in Stockton, there was 10,000 jobs on the waterfront. So it was a major industry in Stockton, and we want to highlight all those aspects.
We only have 30 seconds left, but are you still looking for volunteers, maybe specific skills?
Any skill. We need all skills. And we're always looking for donors as well. So I ask people to look at our Facebook page. Just look under USS Lucid and all our contact information is there, or our YouTube channel, both under USS Lucid.
David, thanks for stopping by. It was really interesting.
Thank you for having me. Enjoyed it.
David Rakovich is the president of the Stockton Maritime Museum, and we've been talking about the long shipping history of Stockton and the more than a decade restoration efforts of the wooden Navy ship called the USS Lucid. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. If you want to join the conversation, send us an email. We're at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.